So I was doing some research this week, and psychologists tell us that who you are a year from today will be largely determined by two things: the things you allow in your mind and the people that you hang out with. In fact, that's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that bad company corrupts good character. So what is Paul saying here? He's just saying that absolutely who you spend your time with shapes you. And we can see this by the stuff that back in high school. We can see it by the people that we work with. We can see it by the people that we go to church with. And if we hang out with God in devotion, we can even see our lives changing little bit by little bit by the time that we spend with Him. The unfortunate part about that is that as we look around our culture today, we see that relationships are fragmenting at a rather alarming rate. And it seems like so very few people today are out there who actually know how to relate to each other. And COVID absolutely didn't help. Not just our kids, but even some adults. We've just forgotten what it's like to be around other people, what it's like to share our lives with other people, what it's like to have these deeper conversations. And to compound that, as you look around, there's not too many role models that are actually showing us how to relate better. I mean, Hollywood maybe used to do that, but not so much anymore. Sports world seems largely lacking. The media, I don't know if we should look at the media for anything today. But even in spite of all that, God just says this. He says, who we spend our time with and what we let into our heads will absolutely shape us for the future. So the Bible says, again, God says that love has to be the thing that we set that foundation point on. It has to be the basis of all our relationships. You know, it's an interesting thing. Paul's writing to Timothy, and Timothy's an up-and-coming pastor, right? And so he's writing him all these words of wisdom. And he says this at one point. He says, at the end times, the hearts of many will grow cold. And just think about that statement. Let it resonate for a little bit, and then take a step back and look at our culture. Can't you say that? I mean, it's certainly grown cold on the 101, right? Nobody cares about anybody on the 101. I mean, we're just like the Autobahn now. But how about like at work? Politics, it doesn't seem like anybody cares about anybody anymore. But how about the workplace? How about Thanksgiving? Can you just see that it's become more and more and more about us, about me, about what I like, how I'm affected, and very seldom about anybody else that we're living life with? That's why God says again and again that love's got to be that foundation, because when we stop seeing each other, man, we lose everything. Think about back during COVID, we had these mask things, right? I don't want to get anybody upset, but people were either upset if you wore a mask or they were upset that you didn't wear a mask, right? Those kind of things. I even watched family members walk away from each other for a time because of a stupid piece of cloth. Again, we stopped seeing the person and we got caught up in the other stuff that's just, to be honest, less important. So he's saying that love should be the foundation. And so with so few people today to show us how to love today, I think it's created sort of a problem in our culture that, man, people don't have the foggiest notion of what love actually is anymore, what love does, what love doesn't do. I mean, you think about all the divorces that you've seen in our culture, and they're just compounded. Now you got generation after generation after generation that have experienced that. And that's why, if you're wondering, so many of the young people have soured so much on marriage because of that, that they don't even want to get married. But now they're compounding things by having a kid with this guy, and a kid with this guy, and a kid with this guy. And now you got four or five family units within one family unit. And it's just tearing relationships apart. It's causing it hard to see outside of ourselves because everybody's in it for ourselves. And it's created this urgency, at least within me, to go back to the beginning and kind of remind all of us, right, to actually discover anew what love really is. And that's why God decided to devote an entire chapter to it in 1 Corinthians 13. And so he begins this morning, and we're going to take a look at the first building block, and he just says this in 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is patient. God says that if you're going to relate to people, one of the first things that you have to figure out is how to be more patient with other people. And again, think about that. If you were to write a description of love, would patient be the first thing on there? And yet, isn't that what we want so often as we go through life? People to be more patient with us, give us a little bit more allowance, to forgive a little bit quicker, to, I don't know, hang in there with us. God says when you're going to relate to people and have healthy and growing good relationships, the first thing you need to have is patience. Why would God know that? Well, part of it's because God created us. He knows exactly how we work, exactly how we're made, what we need, what we don't need. But the other part is he's now had several thousand years of experience with, you know, people. And so he's needed to have patience. Interestingly, the Greek word for patience literally means to take a long time to boil. I kind of like the imagery of that. You've heard of people having a short fuse. God's saying, literally, this definition is having a long fuse. Somebody does something and you just take a while to respond negatively to it, right? You just take your time to think, is this a big deal or is this not a big deal? Take some time to not just have it come out of your mouth, but just how can I say this in a better way? What God is saying is, he's saying if you really are going to learn to love, then you've really got to learn how to be more and more patient. You've got to learn to let that water boil just a little bit longer. Why? Because he says love is patient. And that just means it's loving to be patient. It's not loving to not be patient. So I'm patient with my wife or I'm patient with my kids. I'm being loving. When I'm not being patient with them, Scripture says not so much. But you're starting to listen to this, okay, and you're saying, well, it kind of begs the question. I mean, why of all the things that God could have started this definition on what love is and what healthy relationships look like, would he start with this whole idea of patience? And the answer is really kind of twofold, and I'll give you the first part of it. It goes like this. Because the reality is that everybody's different. We just know this to be true. In 1 Corinthians 12:6, God says, God works through different people in different ways. He says, everybody's an original. And if you're a parent, you have two or three kids, you know this to be gospel, right? I mean, same family, same experiences, same vacations, and they are so different. They think so different. They react so different. You're like, I don't know how I have such different kids. But he's created each of us to be unique and special in his sight. And that's kind of a cool thing from that perspective. He's created us to be an original. You're one of a kind. And so God has purpose for just the way he made you to be. And he cares and he loves you for the uniqueness that is you, just the way we care for our kids because of the uniqueness that is them. He says, I love you, man, and I made you special. There's nobody else like you. And if you kind of doubt that just a little bit, I have a couple of tests I wanted to give you. You don't have to do this first one, but just think about how you would respond. Is the cup right now half full or half empty? I could divide the congregation with that one question. Truth is, we have different perspectives on that. Five people at the scene of a crime, they give five different testimonies as to what they just witnessed. Why? Because different things stick out to different people, because they notice different things, because they have different agendas, because they think differently, all sorts of different things. How about this one? You just got a test, you just got your report card on it, okay? And on the report card, there's five A's and one B. Think about how you're gonna respond to this. English, you got an A. Math, you got an A. History, you got an A. Physics, you got an A. Biology, you got a B. PE, you got an A. If this had been your report card, how would you have reacted? I'll give you some examples. A, I'd feel good knowing my parents felt good too. B, my parents would want to know why I got a B in biology. C, I would expect a big reward from my parents if I brought this kind of report card home. D, I'd feel sad because I hadn't gotten straight A's. Or E, I'd call NBC News and have a press conference because this is news, right? I mean, those kind of things. The truth is, we're all different, and we respond to that one question in very different ways because we all have different expectations, because we all did differently in school, because of all sorts of different factors. And so God says to all of us, love is patient. We need to figure out how to have a longer fuse with the people that we care about in this life, and even with the people that we don't. Second part of this reason why is because of these differences, because people are so different, and because of these differences, it creates misunderstandings as we go through life. So because we're different, none of us are alike, it creates misunderstandings. And often these misunderstandings, because of them, we just can't figure the other person out. You've ever felt that way? I just don't know what's going on in that person's head, right? We don't really know what's going on in their head, what other people are coming from. In fact, that's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:11. He says, no one can really know what anyone else is thinking or what anyone else is really like except that person himself. And so when I was studying psychology, they say you can't tell somebody how they feel because you're not that person, right? You don't know exactly. You may surmise, you may think you do, but you actually don't know what they're thinking in their head. And yet in arguments, isn't that one of the things that people throw out? You feel this way. And you're like, no, I feel this way. And you go back and forth. But notice the words no one. Nobody can understand my wife or husband, you might say. If you had my boss, you couldn't figure him out either. In fact, let me ask you if you said any of these phrases in the last 30 days. I don't understand the way he acts. Why does she act that way? He doesn't understand me. She's on a different wavelength. He doesn't make any sense. How can you think that way? My parents are from another time zone. Why do I have to tell you 48 times before you do it? Why won't you talk to me? Why do you get so emotional? Anybody resonate with any of those phrases? I mean, your friends probably do, right? Okay. But if you can relate to any of these, my friend's wife put it perfectly this one time. It was so perfect, I actually wrote it down. She said this to my friend. I know you think you understand what you thought I said, but I'm not sure you're aware that what you heard is not what I meant. I love that one. It's so confusing. But it all goes on to show, right, that we're just different. And because we're different, we have these misunderstandings. I mean, just think about your spouse or boyfriend, girlfriend. Think about how many of the arguments that you have are literally because of misunderstandings. Because you didn't quite get where they were coming from, if it was from an angry place or a happy place. Because you didn't quite know what that tone was. Because you don't quite know what they're talking about because the other day you weren't listening when they were talking and this is all new information, right? It's because of misunderstandings. And if that's true in our marriages, it's absolutely true in the different organizations that we belong to, at work or church or with our friends. I mean, misunderstandings cause so much hurt and so much pain. Because why? Because we don't seek to figure out where it's really coming from. It's a crazy thing. I've had people get mad at me because I must have walked right by them on a Sunday morning and I didn't say hi. Just so you know, if I'm on a beeline, I have to go to the bathroom. I'm 55. It's just the way it is. I don't mean any offense by that. I will come and say hi right after that. But you don't know, right? So you think, well, pastor's just mad at me or he doesn't care about me or whatever, right? Because I'm heading to the bathroom. But once you know that, all of a sudden it puts it in a different context. And it's pretty much always true. I'll just say that. But the reality is, this is the second part of it. Because of the misunderstandings, right, it causes us not to understand each other very well, and it creates conflict in our life, and those conflicts require patience until we can get to the other side of what's going on. So God says we need to learn to be patient with everybody. And so you hear that kind of statement, and you're thinking, well, how in the world do we do that? I mean, you have no idea what irritating people are in my life, you'd say to me, right? I mean, how in the world can I learn to be patient with everybody when this whole world has taught us to really only care about us? God gives us the answer to that, and it kind of is summed up in this one phrase. The answer is by actually spending the time to understand people, okay? But the truth is, the reason we're so impatient with other people is because we misunderstand them. And how can we do this? Because we assume. My wife has a whole phrase for that, but it's just not a good thing, right, to assume. Because we don't take the time, because we're more wrapped up in us than we are anybody else. And yet God comes to us again, he says, love is patient. And the cool thing about God is every time he tells us to do something, he actually shows us how to do it. And he gives us three things in his word that can give us a longer fuse, that can help us be more patient with other people, more understanding with other people. And so I'm going to give them to you now. And the first one is more reflective, but it has a huge point in this. Remember how patient God has been with you. I want you to think about when God says, I love you, that patience is a component of that. That's why he hasn't given up on you yet. That's why he keeps giving you second chances. That's why he lets you kind of spend some time figuring it out. He doesn't abandon you. It's why he keeps pursuing you with his love over and over and over and over. The reality is that you'll never have to be more patient with somebody else than God has already been with you ever. In 1 Timothy 1:16, Paul says, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst sinner, Christ might display his unlimited patience. Paul's saying, God chose me. And he would say this, I don't know why. I was horrible. I was a murderer. I oversaw the murder execution of Stephen as they were just pelting him with rocks. I was a zealot, a fanatic. I was going from town to town, searching out Christians, putting them in jail, putting them to death. I mean, this was my jam. I was doing everything I could to destroy people's relationship with God. But he said, then one day God came to me and he just turned everything around. He showed me his unlimited patience. He gave me second and millionth chances. So think about that for a second. The next time you say to your kids, grow up, maybe think maybe that's what God wants to say to you sometimes. Or when you think, come on, hurry up, how much longer are you going to take on this? Sometimes God wants to say the same thing to you. Or like, why aren't you getting it in gear? Why isn't your life maturing? Why isn't your language cleaning up? And on and on and on the phrases could go. He's being patient with us over and over again because he loves us, because that's what love does. In Romans 15, verse 7, it says, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you. And I know I need just to make this one clarification in this. Acceptance is not approval, okay? I know our world kind of blends those two together. But I accept my kids 100%, but I don't approve of everything they do. My wife accepts me 100%. She doesn't approve of everything I do, right? I mean, it's just the reality of things. You can accept somebody 100% and be totally invested in their life and not approve of everything that they do. They're two different things. But the motive, the reason I'm to accept other people is because God's accepted me over and over and over. He chooses to love me in spite of the mess that I am. The reason I'm to be patient with other people is because God has been patient with me and gives me those second and third and fourth and, I don't know, thousand chances. The reason I'm to try to get along with other people, and again, this is because of Christ, is because God now gets along with me because of that forgiveness that was won. The starting place is to remember, again, how patient God's been with us. And if we can just, again, in our relationship with him, when we hear God loves us, think about that patience thing and think about how prevalent that is in our relationship with him, and how needed it is and how often we experience that, it starts to blow us away just a little bit and gives us a different perspective. He goes on to another thing in his word. Another way to build this patience is by learning to listen. In Proverbs 19:11, it says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. In Proverbs 14:29, it says, a patient man has great understanding. So if you want to learn to be patient, one of the keys here is to understand what's going on in the person. Why? Because the more wisdom you have, the more understanding you have. And the more understanding you have of the person, the more patient you are. So here you are on the 101. You're driving your car, okay? And you're going 65 because you're all good Christians, right? You just do obeying the law and that kind of stuff, going 65. And all of a sudden, this car coming 85 blows by you, and it whips in front of you. And you're like this, and you're thinking, I'm going to crash. And immediately, you start waving at them with less than five fingers. Or you start thinking horrible things. Or maybe you even say some horrible things because that's what comes out of that moment. What are they doing? Would it make any difference if you knew that guy was rushing his wife to the hospital because her water's already broke and she was only minutes away in her contractions? Would it make a difference if the wife was driving the husband because he was doing some work and actually cut his wrist on a broken lamp and the only thing that was keeping together was his finger? She was rushing in there before anything worse happened. Would it make a difference if you actually had some of the backstory of why they were in such a rush? And the answer is sure it would. You might not still like what happened, but you at least understand what was going on and why they're in such a hurry and why they're driving so crazy. But when you don't understand, it's very easy for us just to react. How did this affect me? Not what's going on with them, but how is this affecting me right now? And we just let our mouths go, let our minds go. Truth is, if you don't understand them, you're not going to be patient with them. If you don't understand them, you're not going to have a relationship with them because all relationships are built on trust, and all trust is built on understanding. So no understanding, no relationship. Understanding is what you build the foundation on. Misunderstanding is what destroys relationships. And you get understanding from wisdom, right? Studying God's word so that you know what's right and what's wrong, so that you know what's good and what's evil. But then God says also you do it by listening to other people and actually knowing what's going on in their lives. It gives you a different frame to hear them and to see what they're doing. So let me ask you, how would you rate yourself as a listener on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being just amazing? Kind of the funny part of this is whenever you ask people to rate themselves, we always think we're, you know, pretty good at stuff, so we always kind of tend to rate ourselves pretty high. And so let me just compare that to this reality that it may be a little closer that we're great hearers, but not so much listeners. There was a study that came out a while back, research that was done, that showed us that 7% of the meaning of what you say is communicated in words, just 7%. 43% of that meaning comes from how you say it, the vocal tone, the pitch, the volume, the delivery, stuff like that. The remaining 50% of the meaning is contained in nonverbal language, facial expressions, hand gestures, body language. And so when you're on the phone, that's why it's only 50% effective, because you cannot see them, right? Unless you're zooming in or something like that, and it's a little different. Or it's why when you're texting, it's only 7% effective. And you know it's only 7% effective. I have to add emojis to everything I say, usually smiley faces, so people don't think I'm mad at them, right? I'm really happy. I just said this. I'm really happy. It's okay. You know, you don't have to freak out. But then my daughter's saying I can't use all caps because that's yelling at people. I didn't know that. I just had it on that setting. And so apparently I've been yelling at people for a while. And so now I changed that, and I'm not yelling anymore. And I don't know all the rules to this stuff, you know, But the reality is, the reason it's so important that you know all the rules is because you only communicate 7% of what you're saying. It's funny, as a culture, we seem to be doing increasingly dumber things in terms of building relationships, because everything we do, it seems like isolates us or makes it harder to communicate with people that we say we care about. The reality is, if you can't see the other person, you're missing a huge part of that communication piece. And what this means is our eyes are just as important as our ears when it comes to listening. So husbands, this one is for you. Has your wife ever said anything like this to you? And I can just imagine, because my wife never says this, right? But she says, why won't you look at me when I'm talking? Anybody, it's just me, that, right? Okay, so truth is, she has a point. Because again, your eyes are just as important as your ears. You know you're not listening if you're not looking at her. You know you're not catching everything she's saying. You know you don't even catch the nuance of what she's saying because you're not even putting your eyes upon her. Truth is, it matters. But to be patient, you've got to learn to hear. You've got to learn to hear so that you can understand the backstory, the things that are going on. And then finally, and this is the hardest one, God says we need to learn to make allowances for each other, which involves forgiveness, doesn't it? Which involves that long fuse, which involves thinking before we speak, before we react. Because everybody's got bad days. You have them, I have them, everybody has bad days. Everybody's flaky from time to time. It's just true. We've all had these days in life where nobody should be around us with a 10-foot pole because we're just grumpy. I mean, it's just a bad place to be. So the Bible says we need to learn to make allowances for each other. It says this, be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Because hopefully you have some understanding of they're having a bad day, and so you just kind of give them a little bit more rope before, you know, they hang themselves. You don't respond in kind because you know that's just going to elevate the situation. Proverbs 12:16 says, in the Good News says, some smart people will ignore an insult. Again, why? Because we've all had bad days. It's crazy when we overreact. Again, I use the example of going to the bathroom, right? And if I don't do it right, I can offend somebody because I didn't say hi on the way. Or if you're engrossed in thoughts, have you ever been there? Mike and I were on our way to Olive Garden the other day, and we were engrossed in this conversation, and we started going north on 32nd, and all of a sudden we realized we're not going the right way and say, oh, okay, well, we'll turn around. Then we got on the freeway going north, going on the 101 because we were engrossed in this conversation. And on the freeway going, we're not going the right way. So then we decided to go to a different restaurant because we didn't know where we were going. But the real, we were so fixated on this one thing, we were totally absent-minded with everything else going on. Need to learn to make allowances for people. I mean, I think so many people, so many couples, they fight and they fight and they fight because they don't give themselves permission or they don't have that longer rope just to say, I'm just not going to react to this one. Here's the application of all this. This way of listening, of understanding that God talks about, is also about forgiveness, right? And it's exactly what Christ did for us. He saw our hopeless condition, saw our sins, sees all of our tears. Instead of letting us deal with the consequences in hell, which is the right spot for all of us without Christ, he sent Jesus to us instead to save us from all of that. And through whom he showed this enduring patience with us over and over and over and over, that while we were sinners, he sent Jesus to us so that we might once again know and experience the true forgiveness and what love is truly all about. And because part of what love is being patient, it's because of his patience that he doesn't give up on us. And I think that's really cool. It's because of his patience that he gives us that second and third and fourth and millionth chance. It's because of his patience that he keeps saying, I love you. I still forgive you over and over and over. It's because of his patience as he waits for us to figure out stuff in life because sometimes we're just a mess and we're pretty dense. It's because of his patience that he actually waits on his coming again, that second coming thing. Peter, in 1 Peter, it tells us that the reason he delays is so that all of his kids can be brought into his house. All of his kids can be in heaven before he comes. Truth is, he doesn't come yet, not because the world's doing great, but because all of his kids haven't come to faith yet, and he needs them to come to faith so that they can be in heaven with him. So he waits, and that's what love does. And so today, we thank God for his patience and for his love for us. And we pray that we've learned to do likewise for the people that we say we love in this life, to give them a little bit more rope, to have a little bit longer fuse, to not make it all about us, to see them and to hear them and to understand where they're coming from. It makes a difference, guys. It makes a difference in your marriage, absolutely, but also in your friendships and in your work relationships and with the people at church. It just makes such a difference. And again, the reason why it does is because that's what love does. And you'll find that each one of these that we go through is hard, and it's not easy, and we don't do them well, which is why we have so many fragmented relationships everywhere, which is why we have so many divorces, because people just quit along the way. If you don't want to experience that stuff anymore and all the pain that comes from that, this is stuff to work on and think about. And I know patience isn't one of the first things we think about until we take a step back. But it's kind of key and parcel of all the rest that we're going to talk about. And so go with that and go with this prayer. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for pursuing us over and over, even though we're a mess, and for giving us those second chances, and Lord, for not giving up on us. By all rights, Lord, you should have given up on me a long time ago, but you just haven't, and you keep pursuing me with that love, reminding me that you've got me, reminding you that it's not too late, reminding me that I'm forgiven, reminding me that you're there. Man, your patience with me is incredible. And so I thank you for that part of your love. I'm desperately grateful for that part of your love. And I pray, Lord, that you would increase that ability in me to be patient, to have that longer fuse, to give people allowances, to understand them better. Father, that's our prayer. And we pray in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.